The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
I don't ever look at the Fed as the great hero or savior that some on Wall Street would think that they are. I think they're a big cause of some of the issues we have, along with the politics in Washington.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining us. It is a delight to be here with you today. I'm really grateful for your time. And feel free to join me if you want to dial in. Toll-free number, 888-914-9149. And you can join the conversation. Peter Grandage is going to be stopping by. And we'll get up to speed on the latest of what's happening in the markets. You know, as always, I'm monitoring what's happening in the culture and especially in the world of economics. You know, we talked a little bit about retirement in the past. I saw that a stat that 23%, that number, the retirees lost 23% of their 401k savings in 2022. I don't know where that'll be this year. What's the number to retire? Is it 3 million? Is it 5 million? Where do you need to be? A lot of people wondering now that they took a big hit, but a lot happening with, you know, with the economy, the markets, and a whole lot of other things. A week ago today, the Bureau of Economic Analysis, they issued a report about inflation. And as you probably know, it wasn't good news for anyone. And I was saying to somebody the other day, I said, just, you know, this is not political, but I'm just saying, turn the hands of time back just a couple of years. Were you better off 2 years ago than you are right now? And I, you know, eggs are up 70%, right? I mean, it's crazy, right? You take a look at the cost of gas, you take a look at inflation, take a look at interest rates. That inflation report, which I don't think is good news, came out a few days after President Biden said in his State of the Union address, here at home, inflation's coming down. Right. Here at home, gas prices are down $1.50 from their peak. Food inflation is coming down. Not fast enough, but it's coming down. Inflation has fallen every month for the last 6 months, while take-home pay has gone up. I don't know what to say. I feel like I'm being gaslit. I really do. I feel like when the president says that stuff, he insults my intelligence. He insults your intelligence. He must think you're absolutely stupid. Go back 2 years. Yeah, okay, gas came down $1.50 from the peak. Where was it 2 years ago? It was a lot lower than that, right? From the peak was $5 a gallon for some places. California saw $7 a gallon. Food inflation coming down not fast enough. You know, you're taking more money home. I feel like we're being gaslit. I really do. It's gaslighting. Inflation is back on the move at a higher pace than was predicted. And there was an increase in take-home pay. Its effect was washed out by the inflation rate. Maybe you got a raise at the turn of the year. Well, that's great. Congratulations. But with inflation being up, you're probably making less. The problem with inflation isn't just paying a whole lot more at the grocery store for things like eggs. And now olive oil is going to be added to that list because I love olive oil. It's the Italian in me, right? I'm sure you probably do too. A real bad harvest. They had a poor harvest in Europe. Of course, the earthquake in Turkey and Syria are not helping matters either. So you're going to see a spike in that in the coming days. The problem is also that, as I mentioned in the beginning, there's been a big bite in your retirement account. If you're on a fixed income, you're probably really feeling the pinch. According to Fidelity Investments, retirement investment accounts lost 23% of the value last year. It's bad news for those who are planning to retire. And you know, a lot of people, you know, especially those who are members of the baby boom generation, might even be rethinking whether they're going to retire or not. That's a big, big chunk out of one's retirement account. Retirement account balance has lost almost 25% was another stat I'd seen. But if you're going to rely on Social Security, is it enough to get by? Will it be enough? There's a movement in Congress to move the full retirement age. You know, right now we can retire at 65, 67. I think you get your full benefits. They want to move retirement age to receive your benefits up to 70. That means you got to work another 3 to 5 years at least before you can get your full benefits. That's just one of the many considerations being made to help keep Social Security solvent. I hope it's there when I retire, right? I'm sure you do too. I know a lot of people are saying, "Will I ever see it?" I think you'll see it. I don't think that'll ever go away. But I'm not the expert. Peter Grandage is. He's got a better sense of this than I do. And of course, you can join us by calling in at 888-914-9149 and asking your questions. Peter's a longtime friend of the show. We call him the former Wall Street Whiz Kid. And if you don't know his story, you can check it out. His book is called Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid. And just go online and look for it, or you can buy it where books are sold. Of course, I'd also encourage you to check him out and tap into his expertise. You can get a hold of him directly at petergrandage.com. That's petergrandage.com. His company is Peter Grandage & Company, and I appreciate his insights always. Peter, it's good to have you back. Welcome.
Well, I'm good, glad to be back, but I have to tell you something very seriously. Yeah. You hit it spot on. You might as well put a financial expert hat on what you just shared in this opening. And your frustration that I heard in your tone is something I'm seeing across the board from all walks of life, all levels of income, and all areas of the country.
I mean, what's up with the president saying that? I mean, that was weeks ago in his State of the Union, but I just feel like I'm being lied to. I'm actually insulted when I look at the real numbers and somebody's saying, oh, no, that's not it. Here's really what's happening. I don't understand that. Am I not understanding things correctly? Does the president see something from his perch that I don't? Help me understand how he can make the case that things are moving in a positive direction. And I'm not anti-Joe Biden. I'm pro-America. Maybe the president's right, Peter, and maybe things are going to turn out. Maybe he's got a bigger vision than I do. How do you see it?
Well, to be candid, I don't really think he sees it for himself. I think he's more told what it is. I don't think he's at the capacity to get to the depth of levels that is needed now. So I'm sure he's being counseled, and he's accepting that counsel as fact, and he's going out and speaking that. It's the safest and best scenario I could give that. There could be a lot worse scenarios. But what I think is more important is that the reality of what's happening is not going to be told on Wall Street. Listen, there are polls now where people who have retired or 65 and over may still be working. They believe they're more fearful of running out of money while they're alive than actually dying. If you can appreciate what it must feel like to that person that say that, and to be so concerned about that, and it's understandable, Drew. You just gave some, you know, concerns about entitlements and what's going to happen. We have 75% of Americans working paycheck to paycheck. Yeah. How could they conceivably, you threw out numbers, you need 3 million, you need 5 million. Well, first of all, when the Federal Reserve, the many things they did wrong, you played my opening from a previous show. Yeah. One of the many things they did wrong, which driving interest rates down to zero, is they killed the fixed income market. Mm. They caused all sorts of people who would normally get out of the stock market, go into bonds, get CDs at 6-7%, Ginny Mae's at 7-8%. They forced them all into principal loss risk investments. There are a lot of people that ran out and bought these package car loan because they were paying 8 or 9%, went into real estate investment trust. Listen, Drew, in my 55 and over community, most of the people, at least that I see, know what I do. And I probably heard what I'm about to say to you at least 10 times in the last month. Hey, Pete, do you know about XYZ company? Yeah, I heard of them. Well, I'm down 20-30% in the stock. Wow. That's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about can they keep paying the dividend because I live off the dividend. Wow. And dividends are going to be in trouble if the economy goes into a serious recession. Some companies are going to have to pull back and not pay them fully or omit them for a while. So there's a whole lot of things that aren't being discussed or told to the investing public about the seriousness of this retirement crisis. I think it's going to rival the debt crisis. And between the both of them, it's very difficult for me. Yeah. And, you know, we joke about the hemlock and all, but, you know, I feel like grabbing it myself at times, too.
Peter, how long do you think we'll be in that situation? I mean, a year, 2 years, 4 years?
You know, Drew, we've taken decades to get here, and I just don't see it being solved. I've told you that I think it's going to take a generation. The next generation is going to be the most burden generation for previous sins of past generations. And listen, the CBO, which is supposed to be an independent government group, came out with a study and said that within 10 years, they expect another $19 trillion added to our debt, which is approaching 33. Drew, it's inconceivable for me. I'm about to enter my 40th year in the business. I never imagined that we were going to use a T to describe debt. Never, let alone $50 trillion of it. So, you know, people can take it lightly, and they'll kick the can again. We're going to see this political play out in front of us about the, you know, the debt ceiling, which is a joke. Why do they keep calling it a debt ceiling? They've gone through it 69, 70 times. But the bottom line is that we're going to have an unbelievable series of issues at a time when a political scenario is in disarray. Not only do both parties don't want to talk to each other, but people within the parties don't want to talk to other members of the party. So I just don't see how, to answer your question, how it can be solved in any rather quick scenario.
And I want to take a few calls. Several people are on hold for you. Before I do, before I jump to the phones, and you can get in right now, 888-914-9149. The Fed, I mean, they are really trying to pump the brakes, hit the accelerator, keep control of inflation. Do you think the Fed is going to be effective? So far, they don't seem to be able to get control of this debt vehicle here, this inflationary vehicle. What do you make of what they're doing, and whether or not we'll see more hikes, and whether or not they're being effective? How do you read that?
Well, first of all, they completely missed it. If you remember, when it started, they kept saying they used the word that we heard every 5 minutes, transitory. Yeah, right. Okay. Boy, please, no more transitory. We really can't afford it. But if you remember also when the market in the middle of last summer, the experts were already saying by early spring, the Fed should be pivoting. I remember that word was being used, that they were going to go from raising rates to actually dropping rates. And that's why you shouldn't worry, Mr. and Mrs. America, about the stock market. Well, they're not pivoting. If anything, the latest of what they're touting or what they're saying in their speeches is that we can expect higher interest rates and a longer time before they reach a number I don't think they can get back to, but they're 2%. In fact, most of the Fed now has pushed back to 2025 before we see 2% inflation. But let me explain something real quick before we go to your phones, because it's important. Mm-hmm. You brought up a very good point. Fidelity says an average 23%, but add at least 10% inflation on that. It's been for a year and a half. So you had $1,000, take $230 off it, and then take it cost you 10% more to buy what you had to buy a year ago. People are under a real stress here, Drew. Even if the stock market doesn't go down, but if it doesn't go back up, those people who many have been retired, that's not just people looking to retire, but are retired and hope to do what's called the 4% rule. Yeah. They hope that they could take 4% out, the market goes up, makes it up, and take it out. And when I was telling people, wouldn't you rather just have 5 or 6% guaranteed income? Mm-hmm. And they would say to me, I can make 4% every month in the stock market. And besides, what's the difference between 4, 5, or 6%? And I tell them 25 or 50%. And they look at you. And I go, 5% is 25% more than 4%, and 6% is 50% more. Now those people have second thoughts, and maybe they think maybe it would have been better to do that. So there's a lot of issues facing people fundamentally, economically, and socially. And the combination of it all, Drew, I wish I can come on your show and give you something positive. I just can't from what I've seen.
Well, Peter, I appreciate the honesty and the candor, to be honest with you.
Drew, it doesn't help business. Let me tell you this. It doesn't help business at all. Most people do not want to hear this. And I hear this all the time, and then you can go to the phones. Mr. Granich, I believe you could be right, but I'm praying you're wrong, or I'm hoping you're wrong. And I always tell them, hope's the best spiritual strategy, but it's the worst investment strategy.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, there's so much to talk about. Iraq is going to drop the dollar for the Chinese currency. What's that, the yuan? So a lot to get into. Where do we stand in terms of how do we compare to other nations? We can talk retirement. There's so much to take a look at. Christina is in Silicon Valley. I'll go to her first. She's got a question for you about Social Security. Christina, good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Peter, I wanted to know, years ago, there was a talk of means testing Social Security. I live in Silicon Valley. I know a lot of people who are very wealthy as a result of, frankly, just being lucky and getting options, stock options. And they're retired. They're in their 60s and 70s, and they, of course, receive Social Security, but they clearly don't need it. Mm. So I wondered what your thoughts were on that.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up. It's a good point, and it's already being floated on more on the Democrats, but I think the Republicans will eventually accept it, to really look at a number. I don't know what final number would be, but if a person is making, like you said, some of these people have been worth $100 million, $500 million, do they really need Social Security when the average American doesn't? There's some serious talk about limiting or putting a cap on what you earn before you can collect it. And I don't think if they pick a very high number, I don't think a person that's worth $500 million, $1 billion wants to look like crying that he's not getting the $4,000 or whatever the maximum he could get. So that's probably one of the first things they're going to do besides what Drew talked about raising the age before you can collect. But you're on to a very good point. That is likely going to be one of the answers of how they approach this.
Christina, thanks.
Right, but most of the people that I know aren't that wealthy, but they're, you know, they have 10, 20 million. And
well, those people are likely to get limited, at least, if not completely cut off.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Yeah, that it makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense to me, too, at that level. You know, the amount of interest you can make off that, you should be okay. Talking of Social Security, I just wonder if they raise the retirement age. What does that mean? People have to stay in the workforce a little bit longer before you get your Social Security benefits? Or if somebody is forced to retire, they're in their 60s and they don't get their Social Security to 70, Peter, they're going to have some sort of supplemental income, aren't they?
I think what they're talking about, Drew, is for full benefits at that level. I still think they'll probably raise to 62 now where you get limited benefits to maybe 65. But, Drew, the bigger question is, which the Don't Worry, Be Happy crowd on Wall Street doesn't want to even talk about is, how does 75% of the people that are working paycheck to paycheck, seeing high inflation, how do they save for retirement? And won't they at some point in time, because it becomes much more difficult to work when you're 70, 75, and 80 than you were 40 and 50, are they not going to come to the government and say, I need help. You got to help me. This is the big thing that's facing us, not counting about our own debt situation.
Yeah, no kidding. Vince in Santa Fe, New Mexico, you're on with Mr. Grandage. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you. Sir, is it true that since we removed the dollar from the gold standard, the dollar has now become a liability instead of an asset? And also, what would it take, what forces would have to be in place for us to go back to the gold standard, and what would be the results of that?
All right. That's a very good question. You're right. It's ironic that we didn't have deficits when we had to stay within our means, which the gold exchange kept us in. And once Nixon took us off, we suddenly found politicians said that they could print money and meet the so-called needs of people and not have responsibility for it. There is a big question of how long the dollar will remain the reserve currency. Drew just kind of spoke about before about Iraq, but several countries now are openly talking about trading among themselves, not using the dollar. In fact, some are already doing that and all. There is a question with the amount of debt. Could we price gold at any reasonable level to return back to that? It's up in the air. I can tell you this, central banks have been the biggest buyers ever of gold. They are not buying it for a trade, and they're not speculating. They're at least minimally trying to diversify from the dollar, or perhaps preparing for something that you suggested, that the gold will eventually have to be used, because the debt problem is not limited to the United States. It's a Western world problem.
Vince, thank you. That was a great question.
Thank you.
I totally agree. The number here, if you want to get in, 888-914-9149. We'll go to Nevada next. Dee is in her car. Hi, Dee. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. Good afternoon.
Yes, I had a question about how you feel the housing market has contributed to inflation, since the cost of housing is so high, and that has a great trickle effect on finances. People can't afford to purchase as much anymore because their money is going toward their mortgage or rent now. And how do you feel about possibly regulating how much investors can invest and charge people in housing. I understand now they're trying to, the big billionaires are starting to invest more in single family housing units. And I think that's just going to make inflation worse if they continue to charge so much for it.
So, So the affordability index is at a record low, meaning it's more expensive to buy a home given everything else than it's ever been before. On top of that, the increase in the mortgages now is finally starting to hit hard on actual homes of sales. And you brought up a very good point that a lot of people don't know about. Because of a lot of money that was made by certain wealthy groups, there are very large wealthy groups buying homes as investments. And they will likely not turn over those homes as quickly as others may be, which may make it even more difficult for the affordability index. So I don't think you could ever tell people, well, listen, you can't sell your house for this, you know, higher than this price or anything like nature. That would be socialism and communism. But there is a real serious problem, affordability, and seniors, now that they're coming to their age, they're getting out of the big homes, Drew.
Yep.
I would tell people, if you are going to invest in homes, invest in 55 and over communities and not people that are building 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 square feet homes anymore, because it's just not conducive. And the younger folks who are having very much difficulty going out, if they do buy a home, it's more going to be on the startup size, not one of these big luxury homes.
Is there a big groups out there right now? Is it BlackRock or who's out there buying?
Buying,
you know, rental properties and real estate. Because inflation is so high, are people moving now into real estate? Is that the area to go?
Well, I think one of the plans is that they feel that a lot of people aren't going to be able to afford homes, so they can use these things as rentals. It'd be a great cash flow for them.
Interesting.
You know, versus just sitting on a property that may take a few years to sell and you don't make any income. I'd rather just become a landlord and rent.
Wow. Yeah, that's really problematic. I mean, as the housing continues to rise, they become less affordable. I think of these kids burdened with so much student debt, you know, just trying to get their first home, how difficult that can be. And right now, of course, mortgage rates are so high, they're going back up again. It makes it difficult, too, to move forward in that area. So we'll see how high they continue to climb. David in Eureka, California, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I want to know Mr. Grandich's opinion that I think the first thing we have to do is to go back to being energy self-sufficient, because all the prices that went up because of the price of oil, natural gas, et cetera. If we could start by getting energy self-sufficient again, and gas prices and diesel went down, prices of everything would go down. And it would be a good start, in my opinion, to get a little radical. It should be a matter of national security. I'd like to know what Mr. Granger thinks.
Well, the past president managed to get that. And that's why, for a period of time, we had some, you know, we were net exporters of energy.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this president came in and had differences of opinions. And he's also has sold down our strategic reserve, which was really only be made if we really had a crisis and couldn't get oil. It wasn't to be there to sell it so you can temporarily low prices and all. But the gentleman is correct how oil plays such an important role in the cost of everything, not only in making products, but transporting it. That's another big problem that the trucking companies have because of the diesel price and all. And all those things then get added on to cost of products when you eventually come to consumer and have to buy it. So he makes an extremely good point. But right now, the administration that's in charge has not shown any desire to focus on that part of it.
Well, Peter, always good to talk to you. My apologies to everyone. Paul's wanting to know how the system will survive with so much debt. There's people asking questions about the digital future and so many other things. We'll have you back again. I know people can tap into your expertise by going to petergranage.com. I know you respond to a lot of people who write to you, but
that's right. If they're they mention Relevant Radio, my best friend Drew, I will try to answer them by email. Okay.
Make sure you put the word best friend Drew. All right. Hey, Peter.
I never got to ask you what happened with the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Oh my gosh. You know, I played an interview with the kicker from Kansas City, who's a devout Catholic, today. Yes. Earlier, my colleague ran it. And if the Eagles weren't in there, I'd be rooting for KC in that one. But that's a heartbreaker. I think Philadelphia should have won that. But I thought of you that day, Peter.
I thought you would. Thank you, Drew, and God bless all of us.
And Peter, you sound good, too. You sound better than you think.
Oh, much better,
you
Drew.
You sound great.
The good Lord has always never fails you. You have to have faith in the darkest hours. And anybody out there that's struggling with depression, or feel free to write to me. I'll be glad to respond to you as well.
Well, maybe we'll get an update on your battle, your struggle, your victory next time you're on. Okay, I'd love to talk to you about
That'll be great, Drew. My best to everybody there, Relevant Radio. And again, I got a lot of people that tell me they've done well listening to me. Please support Relevant Radio so we can keep coming back on.
Amen to that, brother. Hey, Peter, thanks. Have a great weekend. Bye. Okay, it's Peter Granich. Check him out, Peter Granich. .com. I'm going to take a short pause, be back on the other side. Let's hang out.
Wish you could hit rewind on that convo? Listen to the podcast on relevantradio.com or anywhere podcasts can be found.
Today's programming is brought to you by St. Gregory Recovery Center in Iowa. More information about their faith-centered addiction treatment is available at relevantradio.com/stgregory.
Insight and analysis you won't find anywhere else. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, thanks for joining me. We got a lot to talk about. It's always good to hear from you. Feel free to dial in anytime. You know the number here. Let me fill you in on one other story before time gets away from me. I think you should probably hear. Hey, look, if you missed my show yesterday, and I don't. You come and go throughout the day. I totally get it. Hour one, this is the very beginning, the first half hour, is really well worth listening to. Maggie and I, we played for you what happened with the Attorney General Merrick Garland, and he was in the hot seat before the Senate Judiciary Committee in an oversight hearing. And boy, it was fiery. It's well worth listening to. I'm telling you, it's entertaining, actually. It's engaging. So if you got few minutes on hand, you can simply go to where podcasts are housed, wherever you can get yours, relevantradio.com. Type in my keyword to Drew Mariani Show, you'll find it. But it's funny. Check out our podcast. Go back. Well worth listening to. Because I want to follow up on that for you. It was hour one. I know you might not tune in till now. Look, because the three branches of government, they're co-equal, right? There are checks, there are balances on how they're run. Congress, it has the responsibility of making sure whoever is living at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is not acting like a monarch, right? And that includes the members of the president's cabinet. Well, the attorney general is the top law enforcement official here in our nation, in our country. And the Senate, they held him to the fire. They were getting an accounting on how Merrick Garland is running the Department of Justice. And to say that the Republicans on the committee weren't happy with his performance, that's an understatement. Senator Mike Lee, Ted Cruz, Marsha Blackburn, I think Tom Cotton, Josh Hawley, there's some of the names that we played for you. They grilled him relentlessly yesterday, most especially about the imbalance between arresting pro-lifers who allegedly violated the Freedom of Access to Clinics Act, that's the FACE Act, and the lack of arrests for the violent, destructive pro-abortionists who firebomb and attacked 80 pro-life centers, 130 Catholic churches around the country. I was thinking about this. You know, my ride home the other day, somebody called me and said, oh, I heard your segment. And it really is crazy that you'd send 30 armed men to a family home in the wee hours of the morning and drag a guy out like he's a domestic terrorist, like he's a firebomber, like he's you know, he's making meth in his basement, right? This guy's attorney said, look, if you want us to come in, we'll be more glad to turn in, Mark. I think it was Cruz the other day, Senator Cruz, who basically said, look, this abortion clinic worker, you know, got in the face of his son, who was just a young kid, and Mark pushed him back. He says, if anything, that's a, you know, that'd be a misdemeanor assault charge. You send 30 guys with long guns, battering rams, shields, to take the man out in shackles before his kids and his wife? Come on now. I mean, what is up with that? So, you know, they pressed him on that issue, and then they raised these questions too. It's like, okay, so you're arresting all these pro-lifers, and there's multiple cases of them. I can give you a litany of them. Yet when 80 pro-life centers, they're firebombed and they're actually signed. There's signatures of who's doing it. You know, they're saying Jane's Revenge or claiming authority for it. You're not arresting anybody there. It's been maybe two arrests. 130 churches around the country has been attacked. So they laid into him about the imbalance. Why are you going after Catholics, right, who go to mass-going Catholics, and pro-lifers? They're peaceful, right? They're peaceful individuals. They respect the dignity of the human person and life. I don't see people beating anybody with the rosary beads, right? I mean, they're not violent. But they also laid into him about, you know, this unnecessary force of the FBI and how they showed up, you know, and dragged this guy out. They terrorized his face. So Garland, on his part, basically claimed that his department was just applying the law equally. There's a disparity in the arrest because the pro-abortion people are doing their attacks at night. Mm-hmm. Well, meanwhile, the other ones, you know, aren't, right? So they're doing it at night and in secret. Pro-lifers, you know, well, they're rescuing children. And in my terms, you know, this is not in the daylight. I don't understand that whole argument. What does night and day have to do with the crime and whether or not you can arrest somebody? So he claims the FBI doesn't agree either with what happened at Mark Hawk's house. So I thought, I want to follow up on this, because are we in a time where a division of of our government is targeting Catholics, where they are coming after those who believe that life is sacred and they want to defend it, and who are in large part, of course, you might get an anomaly where somebody isn't. Most part, these protesters are very, very peaceful. You know, and why is there a disparity, an imbalance in both the use of force and the amount of people that are arrested? The Reverend James Harden has great interest in the whole issue since the pro-life clinic in Buffalo, New York. Remember that? He found it. He founded a clinic there. It's called Compass Care. That was firebombed. All right? Firebombed. Somebody throws a Molotov cocktail at your place, there should be an arrest. So far, there has not been anyone arrested in relation to that particular incident. So he had to sue the FBI to get back the videos that he gave to them so that their investigators could do their job, right? He ended up giving them to private investigators. He wants answers, and he's got to pay for it out of pocket. That's just not right. I've invited him to stop by today. You can learn more about him and his great work at CompassCareCommunity.org. That's CompassCareCommunity.org. James, always good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me back, Drew. It's an honor to be with you, as always.
To me, this is just so crazy. I talked about it yesterday early in the show, but I think we need to revisit this. I'm going to take a wild guess to say you weren't impressed with the Attorney General's comments to the committee yesterday. What'd you make of that exchange?
Well, the Attorney General perjured himself, just like Christopher Wray did when he was before the Senate Judiciary Committee, saying that all the, you know, 70% of the attacks of violence, abortion-related violence, is against pro-life organizations. Over 250 attacks now. I venture to say close to 100%. I mean, Christopher Wray's got bad math. And Merrick Garland, I mean, we were saying since August 23rd that the FBI was slow-walking this. And Merrick Garland comes out and basically says, you know, look, we apply the law equally. We're applying the FACE Act equally, Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrance Act. But are they? Because according to the report that Merrick Garland gave the Senate Judiciary Committee the same day of his, you know, testimony, he's saying the opposite. The report says on page 18 that, you know, that they created this reproductive health task force specifically to target anti-abortion activities. Their words. Wow. You look on their website. It's all about targeting pro-life people. Look at their list. They have another webpage that says recent cases of violence against reproductive health care providers. If they were equally investigating, there would be at least something on there, on that list of cases they're investigating. There's not a single case of violence against pro-life people and organizations on that list. Not a single one. Mind you, you look it up on bullet point number 5. Yep. What do they have there? they have Mark Houck listed as a violent aggressor, even though he's been exonerated twice.
Wow.
Now, look, Merrick Garland is lying. He needs to be indicted. This guy needs to be thrown out. I think the FBI needs to be defunded and dismantled and rebuilt. The spot, look, I've been saying this since August 23rd. It took the FBI 5 weeks to review our video surveillance, just to review it. Huh. These people are slow walking this. They know who's doing it. Our private investigators know that the FBI knows who's doing it, and they're choosing not to make arrests.
Wow.
And that's why the House Judiciary Committee is interested. That's why the Senate Judiciary Committee is interested. And just recently, you probably know this, Drew, just recently, today, there was a release of FBI whistleblower testimony to the subcommittee for the weaponization of government. Did you see this?
No, I did not. This is news to me.
Special Agent Garrett O'Boyle claimed that the FBI began targeting pro-life pregnancy centers after the Dobbs decision last summer. And so he's describing the FBI's leadership's directives to update the threat tags that they use began targeting, quote, what he calls pro-life adherence. Okay, that's what they said. That's their threat tag. Look for people with pro-life adherence. And O'Boyle basically said, look, when this threat tag came out, it was like, why are you focusing on pro-life people? It's pro-choice people who are the ones protesting or otherwise threatening violence. And they said, look into what the Bureau called pregnancy centers. The Bureau, I said, look, this is, I am beside myself with satisfaction. When I saw the vitriol coming out, the righteous vitriol coming out of Josh Hawley when he was questioning Merrick Garland, the FBI and the DOJ have one standard, according to the FBI. According to Christopher Wray, they have one standard. And I agree, they do have one standard, and it's the standard of injustice. They are acting like Mao's Red Guard for Biden.
Wow. So why target pro-lifers? You know, why this imbalance? I mean, what is it that, you know, they'd want to pull out all these forces, spend all this money, and target the pro-lifers? Is there really an anti-Catholic, anti-life agenda in an institution that's supposed to uphold justice and the rule of law?
That is the $1,000 question. Our private investigators have found that the attacks on pro-life entities are all connected to Antifa. Mm-hmm. And Antifa is a multinational kind of insurgency revolution that defines anti-fascism according to the Marxist-Leninist definition of anti-capitalism.
Wow.
Their goal, their stated goal, Drew, is to destroy the current global civilized order and pave the way for a global communist order. Their whole point, so enemy number one is capitalist Christians. And that manifests itself in the belief system of pro-life Christians, Catholics. Basically, we believe that all people are made in the image of God and therefore equally valuable. This stands in the way. This belief is the basis for a dignity and equality and a justice system, a blind justice system. And that is the belief that stands between tyranny and freedom.
Wow.
That's why we're enemy number one. They see us as representatives of a slave state seeking to enslave people with a Judeo-Christian ethic,
right,
and a capitalistic structure.
It's crazy. Well, Jim, James, hold on a second. I have to take a short pause. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more. If you want to join us, you want to sound off, you've got a perspective, feel free to dial in. Just a few moments left in today's time with you on the number to get in, 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Hi, Drew. Thank you. Thank you for your show.
This is the Drew Mariani Show.
Marvelous show on the radio right now.
On Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Get informed and get connected. It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, here's a question for you. Do you believe that the Justice Department is targeting pro-lifers and Catholics? Is that the case? Are we actually seeing that? I would say not in the United States of America. No way. Right? Maybe communist China. Maybe in the former USSR, right? You'd infiltrate Catholic churches, send your spies. You know, you wouldn't pursue things like we're seeing here where clinics are firebombed and you're not making arrests. Yet you're dragging people who are religious or who are pro-life out of their homes in the middle of the night with about 30 armed guards, police officials. Vice President Mike Pence, former Vice President Mike Pence, is demanding answers from the FBI, and he is really urging, agents now to develop sources with access, including like places of worship. He wants to probe these alleged relationships between racially and ethnically motivated violent extremists. They're calling radical traditional Catholics terrorists. Really? It's crazy. He basically said the First Amendment guarantees free exercise of religion without surveillance or fear of being labeled an extremist by the federal government, right? What I just heard during the break, I want to share with you now. I was talking to my guest, the Reverend Jim Hardin, and he says to me, there are other forces out there right now that want to make abortion a religious right. A religious right. They want to make abortion a religious right. And I thought, well, is that the Church of Satan? Let me bring Jim back into the conversation and just share with you what he was sharing with me during the break. I find this stunning that anyone would want to go down this path. But if you can Christianize abortion, then you clearly green light it, make it your false religion. But Jim, share with everybody what you were sharing with me.
Yeah, so there, we started to notice a unique tactic that was being used on the lead up to the midterm elections back in August, where pro-abortion politicians in charge of the Democratic Party started to insist that abortion represents a religious liberty. And so you started to have lawsuits being filed, like against rabbis were filing a lawsuit.
Rabbis?
Against
wow.
Rabbis, yeah, against Florida law restricting abortion, saying it was violating their religious liberty to counsel their congregants for abortion. Montana was considering a law, HB 471, to essentially make abortion a religious right, stating that if a woman seeks the abortion in accordance with the woman's sincerely held religious tenets, even if it's illegal in the state, they have to give it to her.
Wow.
I mean, this is another instance of the larger strategy to conflate religion, Christianity in particular,
yep,
with abortion. And the reason why, yep, is because it gives them, it takes away, when you can conflate abortion with Christianity, it takes away the Christian's ability to be pro-life publicly based on First Amendment liberties. So, that's what their goal is. The last 9 months, if it's taught us anything, it has taught us that pro-abortion politicians want to criminalize public pro-life activity and push it out of the public square. We've seen it through censorship. We've seen from big tech. We've seen it from pro-abortion politicians like Senator Mazie Hirono out of Hawaii, Senator Elizabeth Warren out of Massachusetts, demanding that pregnancy centers shut down. We've seen it with pro-abortion domestic terror attacks and threats from Jane's Revenge. We're seeing a new move. And I'm not sure it's going to get traction here, but just because a pro-abortion kind of person claims to be a Christian or a Jew does not make Christianity or Judaism pro-abortion. It just makes that person a religious hypocrite.
Right. That's really, really well said. I'm just curious on a personal level. The FBI, your clinic was firebombed. We talked about that when it happened. Dobbs brought about all these attacks on these centers around the country. What happened with you? I mean, how did the FBI treat you? I mean, I think of Mark Hoke, maybe that's an anomaly. Maybe some of these are anomalies. What was your experience like when the FBI investigated what happened in your clinic? Were they thorough? Were they compassionate? Did you feel they were going to follow up? I mean, what was your own experience like?
Well, when it first firebombed on June 7th, the FBI showed up with ATF and oddly, two Secret Service agents. We don't know why. Still don't know why. But they gave us a card. One of the agents gave us a card, and they left behind evidence. We had to call them back and say you left the evidence here. They did not communicate with us. They basically stopped communicating with us. We tried to reach out to them on multiple occasions. They just gave us the general media line. And so we had to start communicating to them through the media. In June, they finally called me back saying, you know, we would appreciate it if you would tone it down. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
And I said, well, you need to talk to me. I mean, and they basically said, that's not how it works. We don't do that.
Wow.
Okay. Well, if you're not going to talk to me, you know, personally, then I'm going to talk to you through the media, and you're going to have to answer somebody's question.
That's right.
They actually end up yelling at me on the telephone on June 24th. We all know what happened on June 24th. You know what it's like getting yelled at by an FBI agent?
No, it never happened.
It happened to me. It happened to me. I said, on June 24th, Jane's Revenge was fomenting a night of rage. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I called up the FBI and I asked them on June 24th, are you allocating any additional law enforcement resources to protect pro-life people? And the response was literally yelling at me on the phone. I don't have to answer that question. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. We're done. And he hung up. Okay.
Wow.
This is how I was treated. And he called me back within 3 minutes and said, I don't want to have a conversation. I'm just obliged to tell you basically that we take all threats seriously. And that's that. And that was the last time I talked to him or anybody at the FBI until October 14th, when Senator Ted Cruz and 39 other congressmen and senators sent an open letter to Christopher Wray, FBI director, saying, why have you abdicated your duty to investigate violence against pregnancy centers? And why are you attacking innocent pro-life people? I got a text message 3 hours later saying the FBI wants to meet with Jim. You know why they want to meet with me? They wanted to discuss how they wanted to discuss their reputation.
Oh my God.
They wanted to say, hey, look, we'll come, basically stop talking about the FBI and the media like you are, and pull back on your lawsuit against the Amherst Police Department to retrieve your video surveillance.
Oh.
And we'll give you something in return. We'll give you a $25,000 reward for information leading to an arrest, and we'll give you the video surveillance back. Look, and you know what they did? Here's the card they pulled on me. They did the psychological trick, and they said, "Hey, we're all on the same team.
Right.
We're all basically, you know, good Catholics. We're all basically pro-life." In so many words, this is what
right.
they're doing.
Right.
They brought me in, let me see the video, and they didn't even understand the video they were watching. I knew the video better than they did, and that's the first time I'd seen it.
Wow.
After 161 days. Do you know why? Because they're investigating me. They're investigating pregnancy centers. This is the FBI currently is broken. The DOJ is broken, and I'm really happy to see that the House Judiciary Committee and the Senate Judiciary Committee are doing their job. This is a constitutional job, as you described it earlier,
yep,
Drew,
yep.
And they're doing it, and I'm really happy.
Well, yeah, I'm really sorry for what you had to go through, but I'm glad you're here to share with everyone what's going down. Look, I have a friend who's an FBI agent. I've mentioned that a couple times, and I hate to broad brush the agency because I know there are some good men and women in it. But what I'm seeing here gives me great pause. And it clearly, you know, what you've gone through, I can understand your sentiments as well. I have less than a minute to go, Jim. Final thoughts from you. If people want to get in touch with you or follow up on the story or whatever you'd like to leave us with.
Sure. I think people need to keep talking. Keep the discussion going, because the more we talk about abortion in this country, the more pro-life the country gets. We need to return to a civilized order where it's rule of law, not rule of opinion, not rule. You know, so you know, keep praying and keep seeking the Lord. If you want more information, you can, as Drew said earlier, go to compasscarecommunity.com. That's where that website's updated almost daily.
Well, keep up the good fight. We're going to follow your story, and we're here for you, Jim. Thank you very much for your time. Great to have you.
Thank you, Drew.
All right, I'm out of time for the day. That was Reverend Jim Harden. You can check his website out at compasscarecommunity.com. Cale Clark is coming up straight ahead. Until we talk again, may God bless you.